Well, if you'll take your Bible and open to Ephesians chapter 4, we've been spending a lot of time talking about what the Bible has to say about the way we speak, and I think for the most part we've been pretty positive, really. You can use your words this way. You have been given a great, great privilege. God has given you words that you can use for His glory and for your good. Your words actually matter. They can make an impact. Like, doesn't matter how important you are in this world or what position you've been given, if you learn how to speak in a way that the scripture says, you can really change lives forever. So it's kind of exciting to think about the fact that our words belong to God, and our words have a purpose, and our words can be used to accomplish God's will in this world. But that also means that they can be used for the wrong purpose. There is good speech, and there is evil speech. And we see that for sure in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Paul is talking about our new life in Christ, and really the context here, he's talking about how God is using the church to put His wisdom on display in the heavenly places, and it comes down to the ways in which we communicate with one another. This is part of it. Then in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, he says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it might give grace to those who hear." And you see the potential of the way we communicate at the end of that, so the positive part. What can our speech do? It can build up, and I love that, because it's like there's another person, and they're a pile of bricks, but your words can build them up to be like a home. You know, your words can make that person stronger. And then he says that your words can give grace. So God has this undeserved kindness that He wants to give somebody else. And your words can be like an instrument that God uses to give His grace to somebody, which I think is just amazing to think that I can be and you can be an instrument of God's grace. But you also see the negative impact of the way we speak there at the beginning. There's a kind of talk, he says, that is corrupting. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth. And that word for corrupting is a word that is related to the process of decay. So another word for corrupting would be rotting. And so your words have the ability to kind of latch on to someone else and begin the process of spiritual decay. Your words, my words, have the ability not only to make somebody stronger, but have the ability to be like poison in somebody's life, and slowly but surely, almost like rust on a car on the East Coast, where the rust just takes a beautiful car and makes it something awful. And I want us to think about corrupting speech this evening. So I want us to think about corrupting speech, and specifically, one of the ways that we use our speech that is not how God intended and that harms others and that is always corrupting. Like, I'm really convicted about this myself. And I often think when you look at a young couple getting married, I think the way that you two talk to each other 10 years from now, your home will either be an atmosphere of, like, beauty and grace, or the way you talk to each other, your home is going to be like poisonous, like a place that people go and get stronger, or a place that people go and get weaker. And this kind of speech, when it becomes a habit, when it becomes a pattern in a home or in an individual's life, makes that person poisonous, really, to other people, and corrupts them and harms them and begins that process of spiritual decay. And I'm talking about gossip and slander and evil speech. So those are the three kinds of corrupting speech that I want us to think about tonight. They're a little different, gossip, slander, evil speech, but not that different. They all come from pretty much the same root. And they are super, 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 super common. Like, I can't even believe, the more I think about it, I can't even believe how common gossip, slander, and evil speech are. I picked up a book this week called Resisting Gossip. So at our members meeting, I'm going to give out a few books. I got to figure out how to do it like as a prize. But one of the books I'm going to give out is this book, Resisting Gossip. It's a pretty amazing book. And in the introduction, he makes four statements about gossip. He says, first of all, gossip is everywhere. Second of all, gossip is hard to resist. Third of all, gossip has consequences. And fourth, gossip is wicked. And we could say that about each one of those, gossip, slander, and evil speech. And they're all true. Gossip is everywhere, isn't it? Like, think about how much gossip you can hear before you go to the bathroom in the morning. It's really an unusual world we're living in now. Like, on my walk from my bed to the bathroom, if I pick up my phone and go to Twitter, I can listen to all kinds of gossip about, or see all kinds of gossip about people I have no clue even who they are. And all kinds of things are being said about them. The internet is like filled with gossip. Television, of course, is filled with gossip. TikTok, you know, that's on the internet, I guess. But TikTok, I was seeing the other day somebody died, and she's 36 years old. She died, and she was famous on TikTok for for celebrity gossip. And of course, that's not new. Back when I was younger, they had shows, whole TV shows devoted to like Taylor Swift smoked a cigarette in Mexico or something. Like, whole TV show, I guess that wouldn't be a big deal nowadays, but whole TV shows devoted to gossip. Everyday conversations. If my girls, when they were working at working at different stores, they were saying, "Dad, you wouldn't believe almost every conversation I have to think about. I can't get into an extended conversation beyond 2-3 minutes where the other person's not talking about the manager or somebody else, one of the people that came in." It's like constant gossip. The Western world, one man says, has immersed itself in the ritual of discussing and interpreting the actions and words of other people. So I think it's become so common that we barely even recognize it anymore. Like, we hardly notice that it's happening. We just think of it as normal speech. Gossip is everywhere. And it's hard to resist. You can think about what happens when you hear a little gossip, how your heart reacts. Sometimes if it's somebody that you love, maybe your heart's like, "Oh, I hate that they said that." And if it's about you, then you definitely hate that you heard it. But if it's about somebody else, I think most of us, I don't know, some of you are super spiritual and that's great, but I think most of us really struggle when there's a little gossip. Like, it's really tempting. Even sometimes on the internet, there can be one of those clickbait articles about somebody I barely know. Like, I just heard their name. And it can be tempting for me to want to push that clickbait and be like, "I wonder how bad they are," or "I wonder what they did or why they did that." It's like it feels like a lust almost sometimes. Like, they put that couple sentences out there, and you're like, "I need to know the rest. I need to know the rest of the story." And that's not just on the internet. That also can be in conversations with people. You hear a little bit about somebody, and how hard is it to just be like, "Please stop. I don't need to hear the rest of that story ever." Gossip is very hard to resist. And yet we all know gossip can be painful. Sometimes you'll talk to people about the hardest moments in their life. And often I've found that people will talk about bad things that people said, that they found out people said about them. I don't know if that was just especially true in Africa, but it seemed like many of the Congolese people, especially that we talked to, were really, really deeply hurt by gossip. And over there, gossip did such damage. Such damage. Breaks relationships. Sometimes people are afraid to do anything because of gossip. Like, "I just want to lie low, stay in the back, and not ever do anything like that puts me out there, because I know what happens if you do something that puts yourself out there, is there going to be people coming from the side gossiping. And that's like guaranteed, actually. That's pretty much guaranteed. So some people have learned, I wonder how many things have not got done in this world because of people being afraid of gossip. So they just, rather than actually take action, they're just like, you know what? Let's just let it go, because I don't want to get involved and be gossiped about. And it's definitely wicked. Gossip is everywhere, hard to resist, painful, and definitely wicked. A number of years ago now, Jerry Bridges wrote a book. You guys may have read it. It's called Respectable Sins. We should get it for our book table. And that's a strange title, Respectable Sins, because like sin, from God's perspective, is awful. And yet there are some sins that don't seem so awful to us. There's a lot of stuff that does seem awful to us, and we're like totally outraged by it. There's a lot of crazy stuff in our world going on that we're like, oh, I can't believe those people, that they would do that. This is a terrible world. Those people are so sick. They're so wicked. There are other sins, though, that are not so outrageous to us. So it's funny. I was thinking, if we could go to heaven and talk to the angels, I wonder if there would be some things that they see us doing that seem outrageous. Like, we look at these people, we're like, how can they not know? It's so obvious. It's so outrageous what they're doing. And I just wonder if the angels, as they look to, obviously they don't gossip, but if they look to us and they're like, wow, that's so outrageous. And I think this would be one of them. This should be obvious that this is such a terrible sin, but for some reason, it's not that obvious to us. But listen to what Paul says in Romans 1. This is a serious, serious sin. The angels would be right if they looked at us and they were shocked by gossip. This is what Paul says about sin, about gossip, if you want proof. He's talking about this society in Romans 1. You know the story. He's saying the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all the unrighteousness of men. And he's explaining what happened to the world, because it was God made himself obvious, and where did everything go wrong? And he's talking about this society, really, that is just getting worse and worse and worse and worse as they turn away from God. And here's how he describes it, Romans 1. 28, he says, since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. And we're like, homosexuals, you know, that's what he's talking about, but listen to what they say. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They're gossips, slanderers, haters of God. And so when Paul thinks about this society that is just so severely messed up and begins to describe it, one of the words that he uses to talk about the people is the word gossip. They are gossips. They are slanderers. They are haters of God. Like, it just flows out of his mouth. Gossips, slanderers, haters of God. This is serious. So I want us to do a little Bible study here this evening and begin thinking about a number of questions regarding gossip, slander, and evil speech. And so we won't get to all of them, but we can at least start. And the first question I want us to ask about gossip is, what is it? What is it? Now, why is that an important question? What is it? It's hard to overcome something if you don't know what it is, obviously. So we're like, I hate gossip. And if we don't know what gossip is, if we don't have a good definition of it, then what are we hating? We don't know what we're talking about. And gossip, I think, has become so normal. We have to think about what it is, because it's become so normal that I'm not sure many of us would recognize it. Like, if we're in a speech, like I was thinking this about my life recently, and when it comes to gossip, and wondering, I wonder if there are patterns of speech that have become normal to me that I don't even necessarily always feel the conviction that it's gossip, that actually it is gossip. And I think that wouldn't be surprising, because gossip is so normal in the world and not really even often spoken about in the church. And so it wouldn't be very surprising if we have a hard time recognizing it. And especially because in real life, communication's happening at such pace. Like, this one fun thing about preaching is, like, I can talk, and I know what I'm going to say. in a conversation, things are coming at you all so fast. And like one moment you're talking about this, the next moment you're talking about that, and you're trying to figure out what is happening here. And sometimes a conversation can go from obviously good to like, whoa, that's not good, really quickly. And if you don't know what is gossip and slander and evil speech, then you can be stuck in the middle of it and on your on your drive home before you realize what just happened there, or not realize it because you haven't really thought about what gossip, slander, and evil speech is. Matthew Mitchell, he's the one who wrote that book, Resisting Gossip. He says it would be nice if there was a sign that would just flash above someone's head as they began talking to us that said, warning, the contents of this next conversation contain sinful gossip. Use extreme caution. Imagine just like beep, 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 a neon sign. But of course, then it probably would happen to us and we wouldn't like that. You know, we would like try to hide it. So let's walk our way through some of the passages in Scripture that talk about gossip and slander and evil speech, and we'll just make some observations. And I'm going to put all these words together because they're a little different, gossip, slander, evil speech, but they're translations of a bunch of different Hebrew and Greek words, and they really are very similar at the end of the day. And we're going to start all the way back in the book of Leviticus. We're going to start in Leviticus chapter 19, verses 16 through 18. So we're going to work through some passages. We're going to make observations, and then at the end, we're going to try to put together what we saw and form a definition of gossip, slander, and evil speech, and even try to understand why we do it, where it comes from, and why it's such a problem. But Leviticus 19, 16 through 18. And we can just begin, if you look back up at verse 9, right above verse 9 in your Bible, what does it say? Do you have anything like a heading in your Bible above? Because we're just diving into Leviticus here. There's a bunch of rules, laws often. A lot of times it's about sacrifice. But here we're looking, okay, we're going to look at Leviticus 19. We're not going to do this big, long exposition of it. But we're trying to get, what is this about? And we see like a little heading above verse 9 that says what? Okay, so yeah, we're looking at laws that seem to have to do with our relationship with other people, and that have to do with the command to love. So we'll fast forward down to verse 16. There are laws about what to do with your field. There are laws about not stealing and then not taking advantage of somebody and not doing injustice in court. And now we come to verse 16 in this section on loving your neighbor and being just. This is what God says. He says, "You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." And so if we're going to make observations and try to understand the way the Bible thinks about slander, gossip, what would be some observations, simple observations you could make from verses 16 through 18? Okay, so here's the next verse. He says, don't slander. The next verse almost feels like a put on, right? You shall not hate your brother in your heart. So something bad has happened. The temptation is going to be something you feel like somebody has done something wrong to you or something that they've done something wrong. The temptation, one way to deal with it is hating them. And hating often results in inner heart hatred, results in slander. And then he puts it right next to, you shall not go around as a slanderer among your people. The next one is, you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. So slander has something to do with, it's like right next to a verse about doing somebody harm. And then the next verse is about hating them in the heart. So if somebody does something wrong, you can sometimes hurt them with your speech, and sometimes you can hurt them with your hands. And he's saying that's not the right way to respond, to take matters into your own hand. But what should you do instead? The put on is, you should speak directly to them. So slander obviously is not speaking directly to them. Slander is, instead of choosing to speak to them about the problem, I'm going to people who are not involved to talk to them about this person and the problem. And what's the result? Lest you incur sin because of him. So if you don't deal with the problem this way, you've been sinned against maybe, but if you don't deal with the problem this way, you end up being the one sinning. And then he says, you shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your people, which again would be connected to slander, right? You have been hurt. You might take vengeance by the way you speak. You might take vengeance by what you do with your hands. You've been hurt. You might bear a grudge. You're not taking action, but inside you really hate the people. But instead of hating them, you should love them, and it has to do with your relationship with God. I am the Lord, he says at the end. The way you treat your neighbor has to do with my ownership of you, actually. Proverbs 11:13. We're just putting down data. We're gathering information. We'll try to bring it all together at the end. But Proverbs 11:13. Says this, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. So it's interesting, goes about slandering, that's kind of how Leviticus put it too, goes about as a slanderer. So the slanderer is somebody who moves out there to talk about others. And then he makes a contrast. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in his spirit keeps a thing covered. So as we're just trying to figure out what gossip and slander and evil speech is, what are some observations we can make from that? Okay. The person who slanders is not somebody you can count on. They're not trustworthy in spirit. So they're not the kind of person inside that is reliable. Slandering is the opposite of being trustworthy. The slanderer reveals something that shouldn't be revealed, right? He's a revealer of something that should be hidden. And the person who's trustworthy in spirit, what does he do? He wants to keep something covered. So again, this is not about somebody has really sinned and they need to be confronted and they need to be dealt with in a biblically appropriate way. This is somebody who he finds out something bad about somebody else, or he finds out information about somebody else, and he wants to take advantage of the situation to hurt them. Whereas the person who's trustworthy finds out something bad about somebody else, and he's like, how can I help them? How can I want to be the kind of person that, that looks to minimize the pain this person's going to experience. Proverbs 20, verse 19. Proverbs 20, verse 19. For me, I love doing this kind of thing because I like my sin being revealed in that I can change when I see my sin and understand it. And also tapping on this kind of thing reminds me of how relevant the scripture is, because it speaks to us and our actual lives and the way that we live. Proverbs 20, verse 19, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. So again, we got the going about and we've got the revealing secrets, but now we get something a little different. Therefore, do not associate with a simple babbler. So before we had somebody who wasn't trustworthy who would slander. Here, the slanderer is connected to what? Just talking to him. A neat thing to know about Hebrew poetry or Proverbs is that usually the first line and the second line are connected. It's called, you know how we rhyme in poems? The Hebrews did this thing called parallelism. So the first and the second line are often parallel. They're parallel in different ways. Sometimes they're contrast. Sometimes they're further explanations, but they're usually parallel. And here, that's what's happening here. The slanderer reveals secrets. The slanderer is a babbler, and therefore helps you there. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. Therefore, don't associate with a simple babbler, because he's the kind of person who reveals secrets. And what's a babbler? He's someone who doesn't have wisdom as he talks. He just opens his mouth and lets it go. And he's dangerous. That's the other thing we can say. He says, don't associate. When the Bible says don't associate with somebody, that's a pretty big thing because the Bible tells us to love people. And here it says, you see this guy that's not wise with the way that he talks, and he just opens his mouth and keeps going? That's not the kind of guy that you're really going to want to be close to because he's dangerous. Jeremiah 9:4. This is a prophecy, so we're looking at different kinds of scriptures here. It's interesting that it's in all these different kinds of scriptures. Law, Proverbs. Now, a prophecy, and we won't get into all the details of the prophecy, but we will look at what God says here about slander. He says, Jeremiah 9:4, he says, let everyone beware of his neighbor and put no trust in his any brother. So he's talking about a time in the future when things have gotten so wicked in Israel. He's saying, you've got to really watch out. Or he's even talking about that particular time. You're going to have to really watch out for your neighbor. Don't trust your brother, for every brother's a deceiver, and every neighbor goes about as a slanderer. So what's that? What do you see? What do you learn about slandering? Hopefully we don't do a transcript of this one, Will, because I'm saying the same thing three times. But what do you see about slandering there? There's a connection, right, with what? Yeah, we can do this. we see the slanderer, the person who slanders seems to be connected to someone who's a liar. And so often that's what we're doing when we slander, or when somebody slanders, they're saying things that are not true. That's actually how Noah Webster defines slander. He says it's a false tale or report maliciously uttered, and tending to injure the reputation of another by lessening him in the esteem of his fellow citizens. So slander usually is more associated with lying. Gossip is just more generic bad things. But we are slandering when we tell stories that make someone look bad that are not true, and we do that in all kinds of different ways. If we look down further in this passage in Jeremiah, he explains a little bit more what a slanderer is like in verse 8. He says, their tongue is a deadly arrow. It speaks deceitfully. With his mouth, each speaks peace to his neighbor, but in his heart, he plans an ambush for him. So when we talk about a slanderer, we're talking about an untrustworthy person who lies. And when you're with him, you think he's for you, but he's not. He's actually inside. He's planning an ambush. He's lying to you to get something for himself. And so this is a hard issue here. In Proverbs, you have that person who's just talking and is dangerous. And here you have someone who's deliberately speaking a certain way to take advantage of others. But both are people that we're supposed to beware of. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 9. This is making you work here. Ezekiel 22, verse 9. God is declaring the sins of Israel to her, and the context here is hurting others. They're hurting others. And verse 9, we see one way they hurt others. There are men in you who slander to shed blood. And so these are people who speak words that are lies about others in order to just do damage to them. Now go back to Genesis. Genesis 37, verse 2. These are different Hebrew words for slander. This is a different word than the one that we've been looking at so far that gives a little different twist on slander, or at least puts it in a different way. This is about Joseph, actually. And it says, Joseph, being 17 years old, was pasturing the flock with his brothers. He was a boy with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah. Sorry, 17-year-old guys, the Bible calls you a boy still, but just joking. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. And that bad report is actually the word for slander. So I'm not sure whether Joseph is doing something sinful here. That would take more work. But that is the word that is used later in the Bible for slander. It's bringing a report, like news about someone else, to another person that is negative. You find the same word used in Numbers. So if you go over to Numbers chapter 13, verse 32, and actually this is a unique one because they're slandering not a person here, they're slandering the promised land. And this is the story about the spies who are sent out, and they come back, and it says, so they brought to the people of Israel a bad report, slander of the land that they had spied out, saying, the land through which we've gone to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all that the people that we saw in it are of great height. And there you can see God had made a promise, and they're using their words to make it difficult for people to want to obey God's promise by exaggerating, really, and only looking at one side of the story when it came to the promised land. But that's a picture of what it looks like to slander. Proverbs 10:18, we walked away from Proverbs, we're coming back to Proverbs, mostly because we're chasing different Hebrew words, but Proverbs 10:18 is another word that is used for slander in the Old Testament. And this one, it says, the one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool. So what new things do we learn about slander there? Or what things do we learn? We learn that it's a way of concealing hatred, or it's connected to concealing hatred. This is important. When we slander, the Bible often uses the word hatred near it, because we don't like to call our sins what they are. So we need to learn to do that. And slander is a way, when we're slandering, we need to recognize that the Bible often would say what's at the heart of that is actual hatred. And then here it talks about uttering, so it's something you say, but then what does it say at the end there? It says, whoever utters slander is a fool. So the way you speak, the slanderer, is foolish. It tells another person something about you when you're a slanderer, or it tells you something about another person when they're a slanderer. It tells you something about their character. And not just that they're a sinner, but that they're actually foolish, because foolish means not wise. Proverbs 17:9 doesn't actually use the word slander or gossip, but it does describe, I think, the pattern. Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. So the person who gossips is not he's not seeking love. He's not seeking, no matter what he says, he's not actually seeking to bring a relationship together. He is speaking in a way that's going to cause relational harm, that it can even get in between people who are close to one another and separate them. Proverbs 18:8, just the next chapter. This is a neat word for gossip here. It says, the words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. So it's in a section about foolish speech, and the gossip, the word that's used here is whisperer. So the gossip is described as a whisperer. Why do you think the gossip is described as a whisperer? So it's like taking the Hebrew is a picturesque language. So it's taking a word to describe gossip, and he's saying the gossip is a whisperer. Why would it use the word whisper? What does that tell you about what's happening when people gossip or tell you about gossip?
There's something shameful going on.
Yes, that was so cool because Clifton was about to open his mouth and then your voice. No, it was just a cool moment because I like saw his mouth open and then your voice come. So say that one more time. I got distracted. But,
well, it was really
yeah, I know. It's like amazing ventriloquism is what I was thinking.
There's something shameful going on.
Yeah. Yes, okay. That's right. And they don't talk to the actual person. What were you going to say, Clifton?
I was going to say, I'm curious. And
then
see what I
Yeah, no. I think Whisper tells you that he doesn't want other people to hear it, and it's supposed to be secret knowledge about somebody else. It's like, I have secret knowledge, and it's just between you and me. Come here. And it tastes good. That's the other thing he says about it. It's like Doritos. It's not like broccoli on your kitchen counter in a bowl. It's like Doritos on your kitchen counter. Like by the end of the day, it's gone, except for me. I don't like Doritos, but everybody else in my family seems to. I don't like my fingers getting all like that. In some K-dramas, they actually wear little plastic things on their hands, and I thought that's very wise. I would maybe eat a Dorito then. But it tastes good. It tastes good, and it goes deep. And I like the word morsel. It's just like a little bite of something. But it goes, gossip, even though it tastes good, it goes deep in you. Psalm 31:13 connects gossip to the word whisper again. David is in a difficult situation, and people are not helping him, but they're talking about how bad it is for him, and they're scheming to hurt him. It's just a lack of love here. He says, "For I hear the whispering of many, terror on every side, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life." So David's in a difficult situation. People are gossiping and whispering and trying to figure out ways to hurt him. Psalm 41:5-8 describes gossip as well. It says, "My enemies say of me in malice, 'When will he die and his name perish?' And when one comes to see me, he utters empty words while his heart gathers iniquity. When he goes out, he tells it abroad." So that, what a picture of a slanderer. He comes in, and he utters empty words. He says things, he's just trying to be nice, but really, or look nice, excuse me. And really what he's doing in his heart, he's trying to get information that he can go out and tell about you for the purpose of doing you harm. If we fast forward to the New Testament now, Paul talks about gossip as well. It's not only an Old Testament problem. Paul talks about gossip in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20. He's concerned about the Corinthians, and he says, "For I fear perhaps when I come, I may find you not as I wish, and that you may find me not as you wish, that perhaps there may be quarreling, jealousy, anger, hostility, slander, gossip, conceit, and disorder." And so you see, this is a sin that Paul fears to find in the church. It's connected to all these other relational sins. And the word for slander here means speaking against someone. Speaking against someone. And it's defined as providing harmful information about a person, often spoken in whispers or in a low voice, with the implication that such information is not widely known and therefore should be kept secret. That's gossip. 1 Timothy 5:13, we'll sum this up in a minute. 1 Timothy 5:13. This is about this list that Paul said the church should have for widows. And there were certain people that could be on the list and certain widows that shouldn't be on the list. And here he's talking about younger widows that shouldn't be put on the list because what would happen is they would be put in a position of temptation because it'd be easy for them to become lazy. He says, besides that, they learn to be idlers, lazy, because they don't have much to do. And they're going about from house to house. And not only idlers, but also gossip and busybodies saying what they should not. And so gossip seems to be connected to laziness, to meddling in somebody else's life, to just saying things that are none of your business. 2 Timothy 3:3 gives a list of sins. We're almost done looking at these different passages, but 2 Timothy 3:3 gives a list of sins of just how bad it's going to be in the last days. And this is how he describes how bad it's going to be. It's going to say people will be heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good. And the words he uses around slander there, right? Heartless, brutal, without self-control. And the Greek word for slander in that passage is diabolos, which is actually the word used for the devil. And it means an accuser. So a slanderer is the kind of person who likes to accuse other people, not to their face, but to others. And he does it in all kinds of ways. But he is looking to put people down, really. Titus 2:3 uses the same word here. It's the opposite of being reverent in this passage. It says, older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers. So there, slandering is connected to a lack of fear of God. So be reverent, fear God, worship God, don't be a slanderer. So slandering there is somehow connected to a failure to really fear God. And it seems to be connected to living for one's own pleasure. Don't be slanderers, don't be slaves to much wine. James 4:11 and 12. If we find maybe a little bit of a broader word in James 4:11 and 12, but not much broader, actually. It's speaking evil. Speaking evil. And that's a good way to describe slander, actually, and gossip, just to put it straight. Gossip and slander is speaking evil. So call it what it is. You're not speaking good, you're speaking evil. James 4:11 and 12. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. And this is a really unusual command in James's day. So pagans had an idea of what it meant to be a good person, and they would make lists of, like, just like nowadays people come up with, this is what a good person, unbelievers say, this is what a good person's like. They came up with lists of what a good person was like. And yet, on all those lists, they never talk about a good person as someone who doesn't speak evil against someone else. They never bring up gossip, a failure, a lack of gossip as a mark of a good person, just because this wasn't something that they really took seriously as a problem. And yet, the Bible does. This word for speaking evil is really, you can see it there, speak evil against. This is against words, against people words. And you can see later he says, he who speaks against his brother or judges his brother. So that's the same activity viewed from a different angle. When we speak against others, and usually when we slander or we gossip, we're setting ourselves up as somebody else's judge. So how about we just try to take what we saw there and make a description of gossip, slander, and evil speaking. So we'll start with the actual action. What are we doing when we gossip? And we can start really simple. When we gossip or slander or speak evil, what are we doing? Go so simple, you can get a point, easy point this way. We are jumping up and down. We are throwing baseballs. We are talking. We're speaking. So gossip has to do with speaking, sometimes with listening, but with talking. We're talking not for a good purpose, obviously, right? There's definitely something negative going on with gossip, slander, and evil speech. It's when someone's not there that we're talking about. So it's we're talking negative things about someone when they're not in the room. We're doing it usually sneakily. You know, there's maybe not always anymore, but if they walked into the room, all of a sudden our voice would go to whisper. Or if they walked by the door, all of a sudden we would be, so did you hear about the Lakers? That's a sign that we're in the middle of gossip. Really what we're doing, if we think about some of the stuff we've said about communication, is words were given to us to help provide a true interpretation of reality. So that's why part of why God gave us words to speak to others. When I speak now, I'm trying to give you God's view of reality. But what happens when we gossip is, or slander, we're trying to interpret reality for other people about someone or a situation, and we're trying to force this negative view of reality on them. We're trying to get them to view that reality the way we do. That's what we're doing when we gossip or slander. We're using our words in a negative way to try to get that other person to think negatively about a person or a situation the way that we do. Now, what are we actually saying when we gossip? That's what we're doing when we gossip. What are we saying when we gossip? What are some of the things that make up gossip from some of those passages that we looked at? If we go back to Proverbs, there's an easy one. Not covering, but uncovering, revealing secrets. Revealing secrets. So often when we're slandering or gossiping, we're revealing something to someone else that they, or we think we're revealing something they didn't know that's supposed to be, that should be, they shouldn't know. They don't have any reason to know. What else are we doing? We're making an interpretation about something. We're not just giving the facts when we gossip, even if we think we are. We're actually making an interpretation about something, usually. We're usually accusing. There's some sort of note of accusing in there. Sometimes we're lying, and sometimes we're lying and we don't even realize we're lying. We are sure we know why they're doing what they're doing, but we don't. And yet we speak as if that was the fact. Or we only tell somebody half of the story because we don't have the whole story. And so a good illustration, you walk into a room on a Sunday. Somebody that you maybe had a little bit of conflict in the past with, they're looking at you in a serious way. So they just look like they're mad. You know, you can tell. So you go home, you tell your husband, that person was looking at me, and they just must be upset at me. Now, what you didn't do, that feels very true, right? Often when we say it. But really, it's an interpretation. And now your husband is going to be thinking, I can't believe that person's looking at my wife in a negative way. But what you didn't find out is that person just found out that they're responsible for something and they think it's been stolen. And so you came into the room as they're trying to figure out where this thing that they're responsible for has gone, and it's got them worried. But you didn't know that because you just walked out and went home and told your husband about it. And so what is that at the end of the day? That's a lie. That's a lie. You've lied about that other person. And it didn't feel like a lie because you didn't have all the information. And maybe you never got all the information, but it was a lie. Sometimes gossip and slander, it's just empty talk. It's just we open our mouths and we're saying all kinds of things that are about somebody that are a little bit negative, but is really just babbling. It's offering up a report. What are we doing? What's going on? What are we saying when we gossip or slander? We're offering a report about someone or something to turn someone against someone. So it's an evil report, bad news. And why are we saying it? We're not, so it's not gossip. We go to the past, we go to somebody that's godly, and we say, I need help loving this person well. It's not necessarily gossip if we ask for help. It can be sometimes, but gossip is, and slander is really defined by not for a good purpose. And this is where it can get a little slippery sometimes for us. But it's against someone. It's against someone. Matthew Mitchell, who wrote this book, Resisting Gossip, he says, sinful gossip is bearing bad news about someone behind someone's back from a bad heart. It's bad news. It's behind someone's back. And we saw that with the word whisper. Would I say this if this person were here? Would I want to have someone talk this way about me if I wasn't present? It's bad news behind someone's back for a bad purpose. It's words that are intended, that are not intended to help the other person, not motivated by love for the other person. Jerry Bridges, he defines gossip like this. He says, gossip is the spreading of unfavorable information about someone else, even if that information is true. Slander is making a false statement or misrepresentation about another person that defames or damages the person's reputation. So gossip, sometimes you're like, well, that was true, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it was your place to share it. So those are some good definitions. Bad news behind someone's back for a bad purpose, unfavorable information, bad news, defaming, damaging someone else. Now, there are different kinds of gossips and slanders. So if we wanted to go back and look at those passages again, you have the spy. And this is the person who's an informer. Maybe you have one of these in your family. There's somebody that you, anytime they find out something about you, all of a sudden all of your aunts and uncles know. Or anytime you tell that person something, you know this is like straight through them to the rest of everybody else. I've known in my life people like that who I came to realize, wow, if I say this to you, no matter how many times I say, please don't tell anybody, I just know it's impossible for it not to be, I'll find out with a phone call or something like that. Oh, wow, that's neat that you know about that. I didn't know that. So that's like the spy. That's a person who's with you, and they're like gathering data to tell others. And you don't know that necessarily unless you're just around them long enough. You're like, this is who they are. Then there's the grumbler. This is the person who he's not, it's someone, he grumbles behind somebody's back instead of confronting them. So the spy is gathering information to share, but the grumbler is just not, he doesn't want to deal with the actual guy, but he likes to talk, so he's just kind of feels weird, you know, talking to himself, and he doesn't pray necessarily, so instead he finds somebody else to grumble about the person. And then there's the backstabber. This is someone who has the lying lips. And so they're like, oh, wow, this person's like my best friend. We just really love each other so much. And then you find out, wow, they're just going after you when you're not around. And then there's the listener. This guy doesn't speak much, but he doesn't speak against the gossip. He's just kind of, he's there and sort of enjoying it. He adds every once in a while, but not much, so he doesn't feel that bad. But he doesn't say this needs to stop. And so those are some pictures of gossip. Those are some definitions of gossip. And it's really, 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 really common. And we have a few other questions that we need to ask. One of them being why people do it. And then another of them being, what makes it a serious sin? Then how do we overcome it? What should we do instead of gossip? What should we do when we hear gossip? What should we do when someone gossips about us? What should we do when we have gossiped? But we'll have to look at those. I can't believe I didn't get through as much as I thought I would, but we'll have to look at those next time. But I need to end by saying, one, what a Savior. We serve a Savior who never gossiped. So you start looking back over your life, and if you take gossip serious, and we'll talk about why it's such a serious sin, and it really is, it's gross. Gossip is outrageous. It is an outrageous sin. Like, I am a coward when I gossip. Instead of, like, talking to that person, I just want to say bad things about them behind their back. It's motivated by, like, this heart of, like, wanting to hurt somebody with my words. Gossip is really outrageous. Once we kind of uncover it, we've just said what it is, but we need to uncover why we do it, and it's outrageous. And we do it so much. And so it just puts Jesus, one thing talking about gossip can do is it puts Jesus on display, because here's a man who never once sinned with his words. He never once slandered or gossiped against someone else. And that's just stunning when you look at your own life and you realize how often he never once sinfully listen to gossip. He's beautiful. Our Savior is beautiful. He's perfect in every way. And he came to save gossips. So this is a brutal sin. It's outrageous. And yet it's the kind of sin that Jesus died for. And so we look at it and we should hate it. We should be disgusted, really, by our gossip. But at the same time, for every one look we take at our sin, we need to take 10 looks at our Savior, because Jesus died for people who are so proud that they go around saying negative things about other people without actually talking to the person. Jesus died on the cross for people who are so mean that they find joy in hearing bad things about people they don't even know. Like, we'll read whole articles about, like, people they'll never meet just to enjoy that they're bad people. Jesus died for people who do that and who enjoy that. And he died to provide a total and complete forgiveness. And he has loved us and been for us in every single which way. And at the end of the day, that news, what Christ did, who Christ is, what Christ is doing for us, is going to be the solution to why we gossip. Because gossip's not just like, hey, that's bad. Ultimately, when we look at gossip, it won't be next week. We're not going to be here. I think next week we're not going to be here, yeah, so we don't have this Wednesday next week. But when we get back and we talk about gossip and look at why we gossip, what we're going to see is that the gospel gets down to the heart and provides solutions to all the reasons why we gossip. So sometimes we gossip because we are seeking our identity by putting other people down. And that's the wrong way to seek our identity. We have the righteousness of Christ. Sometimes we gossip because we're trying to get our own agenda. And why do we have to try to get our own agenda when we have a Savior who is seeking our good and we know is with us? We can trust him. So really, it's I think, exciting to talk about gossip and really try to not just talk about it superficially, but get down to the heart of what motivates us to gossip. Because then as we do that, we're going to see the gospel really provides profound answers to the gossipers. It doesn't just come and say, hey, bad person, stop gossiping. But it actually looks at the reasons that you gossip, and it gives you a better way to respond to the sinful people in the world and the weird people in the world and the ways in which you've been hurt than gossip and slander. One that doesn't just do damage. I mean, if you think about all the damage gossip has done in this world, sheesh, if you could just take that one sin out of the world, gossip and slander, what a different world it would be. Like, people, there's a lot of, so people have died in Africa because of gossip. So just, I think of this a lot, because what often happens in Africa when somebody gets sick is somebody else, up northern Africa, like Congo, this would happen all the time. People would tell us stories, like, somebody would get sick. They don't really have good hospitals there. They think about things a little different than we do. So they don't really know why that person got sick. And so somebody will almost automatically say, it's because your cousin cursed you. And then once they go there and they say it's because the cousin cursed you or something like that, man, then there's like all this fear and then like hostility, and then like whole families get split apart. And then sometimes people attack the other person. And it's just, it's insane, all the damage that gossip does. And that, of course, is like an extreme example in Africa. But I think that if we were honest and looked at our lives, we could see a lot of extreme examples of the danger that the damage that gossip's done, but also some less extreme. So like some families are really sick, and they seem nice on the outside, but like it's 20 years of 30 years of habitual unkind gossipy speech about people almost automatically around their dinner table. And that's why what I was talking earlier about Ephesians 4:29, there's corrupting speech. What that's like when your family is characterized by, like, we can't sit around the dinner table without picking people apart. It doesn't seem like a big deal at the time. But 20 years from now, 30 years from now, those patterns of speech, what they do is they provide, it's like poison in your atmosphere. It's like the people around you are unhealthy and you don't even, and your relationships are unhealthy and you don't even necessarily, can't even put your finger on it. But part of it is because you've created this atmosphere through all this 30, 40 years of habitual negative speech about people. People can't even come into your family's zone without, when they leave, their behavior being interpreted in negative ways, their clothes being, what they wear being interpreted in negative ways, all this stuff being interpreted in negative ways. And it's a big deal. I have to think about it myself. We've made a lot of changes over the years by God's grace. Marta's mom was a big help to me personally because she is like a very difficult person to ever say something negative about somebody to. And then I realized, wow, this is when I was a lot younger. I'm like, that's beautiful. Like, I want to, she could find a way to take a conversation that seems so obvious we should be laughing about that guy and find a positive kind of thing going on. And I was like, that is powerful. Like, it's powerful. It was very different than the way that I had sometimes learned how to speak. And so in our family, we really tried to work on that. And I think sometimes we do well. Sometimes I don't, especially with people on television or sports. So that is one area that I can see, wow, Josh, what kind of tough guy are you? For some reason, it feels like I get a pass when it comes to sports, that I can not just talk about it, but really be actually unkind and interpret all kinds of things in the most negative way. And I try to change in that way, just because it may not seem like the biggest deal in the world, but I just think corrupting speech, it's like you throw it out there, it attaches to people, and it's like rust on a car, and it's just, it starts to eat away at people. And so I want to, you kids can hear me, I want to take that more seriously.